All the Yom Tovim are begeder of Hakoras HaTov. But Chanukah is more than any other Yom Tov. It's a Chanukah of Hoido'o. That's why we say at the end, L'Hoido'o So L'Hala L'Shimcha HaGodol. On Haneiros HaLolu. L'Shimcha HaGodol. The whole purpose of the lighting of the Neiros is to give Hoido'o, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just since we mentioned that, let's mention a beautiful point I heard from the name of Rav Diskin, who once explained that Kayetz, summer, is compared to Yoim, to daytime. Winter is compared to nighttime. Pesach, well, let's start with Purim. Purim is at daybreak. Purim is at daybreak. Yeah, the beginning of the daytime. Pesach is daytime, the birth of Klal Yisrael. Chanukah is in the middle of the winter. Okum lahoidos lo b'chatzos halayla. Lahoidos, the middle of the night, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael, I will get up ulahoidos locho. Chanukah is of thanks, of appreciation. And that's what Al HaNisim is expressing. We said last time, that's the reason why it's in the bracha of Moedim. And in Benching, we say Al HaNisim in Noidelecha. It's Hoidor, it's thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We explained the different words. Nisim refers to the hidden miracles. Pulkan is the redemption of Klal Yisrael from danger. Gvurois refers to the Nisim Geluim, the revealed miracles. A Teshua is a salvation of Klal Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about. Milchomos is the Siyata Dishmaya, the help, especially in the wars which the Hashmonaim had against the Greeks. And we made a specific diuk in the name of the Ramchal. Shal Sisolab Viseinu Bayomim Hoheim, but Bisman Hazeh. That the Luach is not historical. The Luach refers to an event that happened years ago, but it's Bazman Hazeh. Not just at these times in the Luach, but it's current as a Yom Tov for our times. One of the greatest problems is looking at the calendar, think we celebrate again the going out of Egypt. No. That's why it's called Leil Shimurim. Once again, we come out of the bondage. Matan Torah, Shavuos, is specifically each year, again, we stand at Sinai. That's why we stay up all night. It's not historical. It happened then, and it's an event which takes place in our times. And that's what we're trying to do here with Al HaNisim, to translate the phrases from what happened then into our times as well. Let's start. We mentioned Bimei Matis Yor Ben Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, and we explained that always the names, in the name of the Pre-Tzaddik, we said, reveal the nature of the salvation. Matit Yor, Matas Elokim, Ben Yochanan, Hashem had Hanan on them. And the Mesias Nefesh, the sacrifice of these leaders in each period of the redemption, Moshe and Aaron, Esther and Mordechai, it's the pairs who bring about the redemption of Klal Yisrael. Then we went on to explain, we gave an introduction to Antiochus, how he came into power, how originally the decrees were made to take away Shabbos, to take away Bris Milah. The Greeks intended to remove the whole nature of the spiritual side of the Jewish people. They didn't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was not in their plan. Their plan was to remove the spiritual essence of Klal Yisrael. We explained how the Hashmonaim went with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, and they were Metakein. They made right the weakness of the Kohanim at the time, who were Nisrashu Ba'avoida, the Bach in Simon Tov Reish Ayin, explains that they were, the Kohanim were weak, and therefore they went beyond the call of duty. They acted with Mesiras Nefesh and searched for a Pach of Shemin, which really wasn't necessary. You could have lit the menorah with unclean oil if tumah hutra betzibur. You didn't have to uncleanliness if the whole community is unclean. You can still light the menorah. We explained that they went beyond the call of duty, miflimishu as adin, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and helped them with tremendous nisim, which we're going to see today how far the nisim went. And then we explained last week this phrase, which is totally different from Purim on the other side of the page. The takonas of Yovan was purely spiritual. They went for the jugular. They went for the lifeline of Klal Yisrael, which is the kedusha and the spiritual side of Klal Yisrael. Haman, on the other side, was a shoah, a final solution, like a Hitler. That was a different type of decree. But the decree of Yovan was purely spiritual. And we explained with the rivers, we used a moshul from the rivers which came out of Gan Eden. There were four. Each of the rivers has a specific label connected to an exile. Poras, Chidekel, and we explained that Chidekel, the river Chidekel, referred to the goddess of Yovan. Why? Because the decrees of the Greeks were Chad and Kal, Sha and Light. They went, we gave an emotional of a surgeon who got in and gets out, and he managed to take away when you don't even know he's there. And that's the whole enticement of the Greek culture. You are so drawn in by it, it's so exciting, the sport, the theatre, the drama, the science, the intellectual, that pulls you in and you're pulled away completely from any semel of Kedusha that you have and you don't even know it. That was the Chochmah. They did not want to bulldoze the Beis HaMikdash. That was Nebuchadnezzar, that was a different plan. The Greeks went only for the spiritual side. They would have enjoyed, I don't know, the Kohen Gadol in the dressed in the eight begodim. They would have enjoyed the Jewish music. They had nothing against that. They had nothing against a smorgasbord. They would love a smorgasbord. The food and the dress and the scheitels and the streimels, the whole, they wouldn't go for all that. They wouldn't be against all that. In Greek culture, they would love a magnificent Aron Kodesh made of wood and marble and a silver candelabra. they would love all that. There was nothing. It was always spiritual. The physical side, they would have taken it all and kept it all. That's what they went for. And that is the great Nes of Chanukah. Chanukah is that they retained their Kedusha, which we'll see in a second, and we'll explain today how exactly they did retain it. But these were the decrees of Yovan. We are up to the section in follows. V'ato b'rachamecho horabim. You, in your great rachamim, Hashem took over the fight completely. Ravto es rivdom. You argued their, pleaded their cause. You took over their problem. Because in reality, they were an incredible minority against the whole mass of the Greek army. Their cause was completely taken over. Danto is dinon. You judged their case for them. You judged their cause. The Briskarov explains on the word danto is dinon that the din which was given out to the Yevonim was far more severe than actually the torment and the persecution that the Jewish people endured. Why? Because we know there's a cloud by Jewish people. If you have a machshava to do an aveva and you don't do it, then Hashem does not give you the debit for it. You're not. It's as if you never did it, but it's not so with goyim. And therefore, since, like the same in Egypt, they were punished far worse than actually they did, because they intended to do much worse. And their intention is accredited for them as if they did do it. By Umos Olam, the Gemara learns that in Sanhedrin, that they intended to do bad and they are judged even worse than what they actually did. And Danto es dinam, says the Buskarov, that they were judged far worse in the end because their intention was to really annihilate the whole Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Nokamto es nigmosam. It's a little bit like we say, he avenged their cause. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as we say in the Shoshanas Yaakov after Purim, Haravis Rivenu Vadones Dineinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took over the cause, meaning that they had such siyata dishmaya, such help in their battle, and they were helped along so much, you'll see today, later on as we go through the end of Al-Anisim, that was completely min hashamayim. It's as if they just lifted up their hand and the battle was taken over for them. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. I'd like to go Bazman Hazeh. I'd like to show you how that is relevant in our times of the problems that we are facing. And it's so significant. Because in their times they had great siyata dishmaya. The Hashmonai went out into battle, and Hashem came on their side, and there were a band of 11, 12 Kohanim Gadolim who had no strength in them, who were Tamidei Chachamim, who fought a battle against thousands of Greeks. That was miraculous. In our time, how does this apply, Bazman Hazeh? But Chaim Vital quotes in the name of the Arizal that Pevek Kuf Kof Dalad in Tehillim is referring to the Tzoros of Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach arrives. This Perek, Lulei Shahai Shem Shahoyololu Yoman Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will say in the Golos of Yishmoel, which is after the Golos of Edoim, there was Bovel, there was Poras Persia, there was Yovon, there was Edoim, and after Edom comes Golos Yishmoel. This Perek, Perek 124, says the Arizal, and Chaim Vital writes it in Eitz Chaim, is referring to the Lulei Hashem Shohayolanu B'kum Aleinu Odom. Who's the Odom? The Odom is the Pele Odom, Yishmael. And if it would not be that Hashem would help us in the times of Golis Yishmael, the Arab cause that we have now, then we would never ever succeed. And this Perek is talking about the Arab persecution of Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach comes. And look at these phrases. Azai chayim v'lo'unu b'charois apon bonu. The Arabs are so furious with us that they could swallow us alive in anger, in fury. Azai hamayim shetofunu nachalo ovara nafshenu. Previous persecution of Klal Yisrael, Germany, Spain, the Crusades, that was compared to rushing waters, Ovara Nafshenu, trying to drown us. Azai Ovara Nafshenu Hamayim Azeidoinim. They were like furious waters. Germany, Spain, and all the previous gods, not the Arabs, is compared to a person who's in a torrential river and it's pouring down. And the theme is, says Reb Chaim Vital, if you're strong and if you manage miraculously, you can hold on to a branch at the side and you'll get saved from the waters. That's Mayim Azeidoinim. But not by the Arabs. By the Arabs, it's Begeda Chayim Velo Unu, to swallow us alive. But look, Baruch Hashem, Shaloi Nesononu Terech Lishineihem. Thank goodness, thank God, that we'll never be a prey to their teeth. They'll never swallow us alive. Nafshenu, our lives, in the time of the Arab terrorism, is ketzipor, like a bird, nimnotor, who manages to escape, mipach hayogshim, from a hunter's trap. It's a trap. Can't talk to the Arabs. There's no negotiations. As far as they're concerned, they will not be happy till every single Jew is pushed into the sea. There's no discussions here. It's a dead end. It's a trap. There's no one to talk to here. It's a pach. A pach means a dead end. There's nothing you can do about it. Our lives are like a bird who escapes from a hunter's trap. That is so true. You can't do anything about it. You can't fight them. There's no talking to them. But hapach nishbar. The trap will snap, va'anachnu imnotnu, and we will be saved. Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, oisei shamayim v'oretz. That is where the Yeshua will come. It is not dependent on the strength of Tzahal. It is not that we have a cunning diplomatic prime minister. There's nothing to do with that. It's all to do with Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, oisei shamayim v'oretz. Chazal explained, Rav Chaim Vital, I'm giving you a very brief synopsis of how the Arizal explained this Perek. But there were two lessons from this last verse. It's a pach, it's a trap, but it will snap. And Ezreinu, our help will be in two ways. B'shem Hashem, calling out in the Shem Hashem. Oisei Shamayim V'oretz, says the Arizal, refers to Chukos Shamayim V'oretz, which means Torah. Our salvation from the Arabs will be Tefillah and Torah. That's how the Arizal learns it. And therefore, when we turn around and say, Bayomim Hohen Bazman Hazeh, happened to the Chashmonaim, that Rav Tois Rivom, Dan Tois Dinom, Nokam Tois Nikmosom, that is Bazman Hazeh. He will take over the cause. What we have to do is we have to strengthen Ezreinu B'Shem Hashem, our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Oisei Shamayim V'oretz, as the Arizal, Chukos Shamayim V'oretz is Limud Torah. That is the salvation. And that's, perhaps you'll see, that's why the Chashmonaim were Talmidei Chachomim and were Koyanim Gedolim, and they were operation in Avoida and Tefillah and Torah. That brought about their Yeshua, as we'll see in a second. And that will be the same, that's Man Hazeh. Our Yeshua is not dependent on the Koyach of a fighting force. That's the first phrase which I'd like to bring out to you. Let's move on. Mosauto. What was the Nes of Hanukkah? Mosauto Giboirim, they were unbelievably strong. Tanks and all the armaments they had. Biad Chaloshim, weak people. They say that the Chashmonaim used pitchforks and agricultural tools in order to fight against the Greek army. Rabim, numerous numbers. Biad Ma'atim, against the few, as we've said. Tameim, Biad Tahoyrim. What's this got to do with fighting a battle? Tameim Biad Tahoyrim, because they were Tameim, they had Tara on their side. They had Kedusha, they had Torah on their side. Ushoim Biad Tzadikim. Zaydim Biad Oiskei Soira Sechon. And that is who the Chashmonaim were. That was the power that they had in the time of the Chashmonaim. All these phrases, these six phrases which we have here, Giboy Chaloshim Ma'atim, Tahoyrim, Tzadikim, and Oiskei Soira Sechon, all have one theme in common. And I'd like to take, even though I'm not going to really learn up the pshat of what each of these phrases mean, there isn't time, what I'd like to do is to take one thread which they all have in common. It's not my idea. It comes from the great Rosh Hashiva from Ofakim, Reb Chaim Kamil. Reb Chaim Kamil was the one who was the Rebbe of Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel from the Mir. He was one of his main Rebbes. He used to learn by him. And Reb Chaim Kamil explains there's a thread of each of these Chaloshim, Ma'atim, Tahoyrim, Tzadikim, and Oiskei Soira Sechon. One theme. And he says it's this. Ma'atim are quite alone because they're so few. So are Chaloshim. They're isolated. They don't have numbers or great support. Tzadik lives by himself often. He's quite isolated. Oiskei Soira Sechon. And he explains using last week's parsha of Yaakov. Vayivose Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was alone. Veniskov Hashem levadoi. Hashem is also alone. Yaakov in his fight with the Malach against the Malach Esav was quite isolated. But he followed Hashem in that way. Hashem was also in a position, he is alone. Niskov Hashem levadoi. Adoi noilam Hashem levadoi im leich noilam. Hashem is alone. Tzadikim, in the situation that they're put and the challenges that they face, are quite isolated. Avraham Avinu was a completely a loner. Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri from the other side. The whole world was on one side and Avraham was on the other side. Look at Yosef in this week's parsha. Totally, completely isolated in the depths of depravity. Mamish, in the worst, much worse than Harlem, much, much worse than the worst areas you can think of. He was right in the wallowing in a dungeon in the lowest of places in the world. And yet, as we know, the parasha keeps on telling us, in this week's parasha, every time you mention the name Yosef, always it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. You always, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is with him. Hashem was with him. Look at the Nisayim that he had, if the lady was the eight-way wife of Potiphar. No one in the house. She came in front of him, trying to entice him, and he turned around and he said to the lady, there's no way I can do this. V'chotosi le'lokim. What does it mean, v'chotosi le'lokim? He turned around and said to the lady, lady, listen, there's no one here at the moment but you. That's not true. There's one other person here, and I can't do it because he is here as well. He lived with the presence of Hashem totally in this isolation. He said, there's one other person in the room, that's why I can't do it with you. Because Hashem is watching me. That's what we say about Yosef HaTzadik. Shivisi Hashem, he was totally isolated. There was no one there with him. With the Sahar Oifim, the Sahar Mashkin, no one there. He was isolated. And he came out like Yaakov, Vaivose Yaakov Levada against Esau. So it was exactly the same with Yosef, a Levadoi. All the years he spent in Mitzrayim, he was alone. All of these characters of Chaloshim Ma'atim, Tahoirim, Tzadikim, Oiskes, Osefer, spend quite a lonely life. And they think, as they're going through the challenges that they face, that it appears to be like a desperation. But it's not. Take Esther in the palace. Esther's described in Perek Kof Beis, when she says, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtoni. I just want to bring out this point. Because this is the way that Chaim Kamil learns up all these phrases. Each one is a special lesson. They were tzaddikim, they were tohoyim, but they are isolated people. They don't have a great support behind them. Take a look at Perek Kof Beis, when Esther cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sevavuni Porim Rabim, I'm surrounded by wild bulls, Abirei Boshan Kitruni, like the bulls of Boshan are on top of me. She turned around and said, Hatzileni Mecherev Nafshi, save me from the sword against my life. Moshe Tevas Homan, Hatzileni Mecherev Nafshi, Miad Kelev Yechidosi, Perakov Beis, Posakov Aleph in Tehillim, from the dog which is lingering on my soul. The Zohar explains, it refers to, since she was forced to live with Ahasuerus, if a woman lives together with a goy, it's like a dog on the soul. A kelev yichidosi, she's totally isolated. That's why she called out, Keili, Keili, Lamazov. She was alone. She had no one with her. All of these, David HaMelech in the Midbar, he was totally alone. He had no one with him at all. He was ma'atim, he was chalash, he was Toho, he was Tzaddik, he was an Oisek HaTorah. No one was there for him in the Midbar. If you go through the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, you see episode after episode, from Noiv to Gat, from Gat to Mor HaSadulam, Mador HaSadulam, he went to Mitzpeh Moav, he went to, took his family over to Keilah, then he escaped to Ein Gedi and went in the caves, always alone. 3,000 soldiers were chasing after him. Never ever did he have him, except Yonason, who kept on finding him. Always these people, Avraham Avinu, Yosef, David, Esther, they were alone in their battle, Yaakov Avinu against the Malach, Vaivosa Yaakov, but it was a Maila. And that is a trait which I want to bring out of these people, even though it's not exactly in the Pshat, but it's the way Rav Chaim learned this through, that their strength lay in their ability to not see their isolation as desperation, but their isolation was their strength, and they grew from that time. Why is that so relevant today? The Sipur, in other words, by Yomim Hohein, Bisman Azeh, Perek 142 in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Mem Beis, is it's a scene of David HaMelech inside the cave. Know the scene. David was at the front, back of the cave, and Shaul was at the front, and he was running away from him. A miracle happened, and a spider made a web in front of David, so he was never seen. And David was at the back, and here's the payload. Maskil David b'yosef amora, as he was in the cave, he davened, tefillah. He davened. In other words, there were soldiers outside, Shaul was in the front, David was at the back, and he called out. And this is, look at these words. I'm calling to Hashem. Try and remember the verses, because there's a point which I want to bring out which is so relevant to our times. Eshvoich lefono sichi, I'm calling, I'm davening to you. V'hisatev olai ruchi, I'm covered up. Atuf is always an expression of tefillah oni kiyatoi, a poor man covered over in hardship. Tomnu pach li, there's the pach again. The pach always refers to a dead end. I'm in a strait here. I can't get out. I'm in a straitjacket. I can't move because of Shaul chasing after me. Now, the Sipono learns that this Peruk, and we keep on saying it over and over again in Shul, Peruk 142, is a scene from the lifetime of David HaMelech running away from Shaul, but it is a Ruach HaKodesh of Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach comes. It is a scene of David, what he went through. But we know many Pesukim, for example, Peirut Kof Beis, we just mentioned, Ayeles HaShachar, is talking about Esther, which was years after David. Peirut Kuf Kof Dalet, 124, was talking about Goddess Yishmael. David wrote it thousands of years earlier. But Ruach HaKodesh, says the Sipono, Peirut 142 refers to Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach will come. Now, look at these words. Klal Yisrael will feel Habet Yomin Re'ei Ve'ein Li Makir. No one recognizes me. I'm isolated. Ovad Monos Mimen Ein Doiresh Lenafshi. No one asks about me. No one's interested in me. On a national scale, no one's interested in people, the Jewish people. In the United Nations, no one's interested in saving Klal Yisrael. It's a situation, this is what David said thousands of years ago, of what Klal Yisrael will feel just before the Mashiach comes. There's no one interested in me. I'm isolated. I have no support system on a national scale, but then there are people on an individual basis as well. This is the scene of Bayomim Ha'ayim, Bazman Hazeh. It's exactly the same. As a nation, we're alone. Individuals feel they're alone. But Avram and Yosef and Yaakov and David and Esther were also alone. They were all chaloshim, ma'atim, tohoirim, tzadikim, and oiske soirosecha. And that is the demus, is the characteristic of a situation which happened in Yavon, and it happens in all situations, that brings about a ku'ula. Because this is Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach will come. Our national isolation and individual, some people in, I don't know, I wander around the world, I go to all different places, and I see people are very, very lonely. People don't have a connection. They don't have a community. They feel isolated. Families feel like they don't have connection with people. It's a symptom of Ikvasa de Mashiach. It wasn't so much like that in the shtetl. Even though there was persecution, people had a community. People felt they were bonded together. You don't feel that so much nowadays. It's rare. I must say, you do feel it in Bet Shemesh. There's a community. People are close together. But it's a trait of one of those, that like Gemara at the end of Sota, where in Ikvasa de Mashiach, Pnei Ador, Pnei Akelev, Chutzpe Yazgeh, and all these other conditions, it's also loneliness. It's a feeling of not connected anywhere. That is Yavon. And according to the way the Sipono learns our Peirut Kuf Mem Beis, that is Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach comes. This feeling of not connecting with anybody at all. So important to recognize that. But what's our strength? All those personalities, Avraham and Sorrow in the house of Parai, Yaakov, they all grew from their isolation. David HaMelech left an whole heirloom for Klal Yisrael. Sefer Tehillim was written, most of it, in his wandering. going around from place to place. From this came out this incredible Dveikus, the Sefer Tehillim. That's what came out with Yovan, and that's the nes of these individuals here. It's a particular theme, which the reason why I took it, instead of translating all these different words, is because it's a symptom of our times. The lack of association is Bayomim Ha'im Bizman HaZeh, it's felt a great deal, but it's a symptom of Ikbasa the Mashiach. What does a person do? It draw close to Hashem. That's what we saw in Kuf Kaf Dalet. Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, Oisei Shemayimus. Lulei Hashem Shehayah Lanu. Hashem wouldn't have been there. That's the isolation, the loneliness of Klal Yisrael. That's that phrase. Ula'amcha Yisrael. And for your people Israel, Osisa Chua Gedoilah. You created a tremendous salvation, Upulkan Kayem Azeh, and it was a great redemption. Look at the end of Al HaNisim. The end of Al HaNisim is in some ways missing the point, you might think. Va'acha came after the battle. We're talking about the battle against the Yovan. Va'acha came, bovonecha lidvei beisecha. As we know, the Chashmonaim with the Kohanim came back into the Beis HaMikdash, ufinu es heichalecha, and they cleaned out the heichal from all the idols, the tihalu es mikdashecha, and they purified the mikdash, v'hidliku neiros b'chatzos kodshecha, and they lit neiros in the chatzos kodshecha, and they fixed v'kobu shemayinus yimei Chanukah elu, and as we said from before, on the 8 days of Chanukah are l'haydoisu l'halel shimcha godai. Looking at this, and looking at the whole of Al HaNisim, there seems to be one glaring omission. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in one of his Shmuzim, explains and asks, why is it that Al HaNisim only concentrates on the aspect of the war? Why is it, and it's an oblique reference here, V'hidliku neiros b'chatzos kodshecha, but it doesn't say about the Pach HaShemen. Why doesn't Al HaNisim talk about it? And the Gemara asks that question. The Gemara asks, "My Chanukah? What's Chanukah?" And the Gemara says, "Well, Chanukah is because they looked into the Beis HaMikdash and they found." But one minute, Al HaNisim's not talking about that. In the Gemara, it asks the kasha of Chanukah because they went out to the war and then they went matame all the shemen and they found one pach shemen. But the real nes was the nes surely of the war. The pach shemen isn't mentioned at all anywhere here. Why not? What's this omission here? And what is the nes of Chanukah? Is it the battle against the Yavonim? Or is it the nature of the oil that's not mentioned here? And the Chaim explains as follows. This week's parasha, in Parashas Vayeshev, he brings the following episode. As you know, Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim. And Rashi points out that when he went down to Mitzrayim, the Yishmaelim who took him were carrying sweet-smelling incense. Usually they would carry tar or they would carry a bad smell which they had, but he was given a certain treat that when he was taken down to Mitzrayim, there was a beautiful smell. Why? Explains Chazal, because imay anoichi betzora, that he should know, even though he's been taken down to Mitzrayim and being sold as a slave, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. Who needs this miracle of a sweet-smelling caravan? He was being taken and sold as a slave. He was taken out of the pit. What is this nace, so-called, of the sweet smell as being taken down? In the words of Reb Chaim, it's a little bit like a latifas halechi. It's a stroke on the cheek. You are being sold down into slavery, but that much you don't need. A bad smell as well, you don't need. To show you that everything is measured in the Hashgacha, and to show you that I'm with you, there's a sweet smell going with you. It's a latifas halechi, the stroke on the cheek. And Reb Chaim brings down three unnecessary miracles that happened to tzaddikim in the Torah. And each one is unnecessary, but they have a thread, a common theme about them. If you remember when Avraham Avinu was shown all of Eretz Yisrael, It says Yomav Akedmav Tzafonav Anegba. He was shown all about Israel. A nace happened. Avraham was facing in one direction, but he saw all four directions in one. Why? So that it wouldn't be necessary for him to turn around. Rashi brings an unnecessary nace. He can't turn around. Of course he could turn around. What does he have to see it in all that? See, from one way he saw all four directions. Unnecessary. Secondly, if you remember the episode when Yocheved was brought forward by Basia and Miriam arranged, listen, if you want somebody to nurse this child, I'll bring you some. Who did Miriam bring? The mother of the child. And on top of that, Yocheved got paid. Basia paid Yocheved for nursing her own child. The unnecessary nace was, since when does a mother get paid for nursing her child? It's an unnecessary nace. Enough that she nursed her child. But Basia paid her. Who needs this nace? It's an unnecessary nace. Finally, Reb Chaim brings down in Sichas Musa. It's under the chapter, under the prayer called Nace Nace Noises. Finally is David HaMelech. If you remember in Shmuel Aleph, when David met up with Goliath and he threw a stone at him, a pebble, and the stone hit his forehead in between his helmet and his armor, and it hit his forehead and a nace happened. Goliath fell forward and not backwards. Why? Because when a person is normally hit, they fall backwards. But no, David fell forward because David wanted to chop off his head. So in order that David wouldn't have to walk the 12 meters, whatever it was, however tall Goliath was, he fell at his feet so that he wouldn't have to walk the 12. Nah, it's so hard for David and Anath to walk 12 hammers in order to chop off his head. Who needs this miracle? And the Chaim brings out a Yesod, which is a beautiful point, which answers the nes of the Pach HaShemen of Chanukah. When a father buys a child a pair of shoes, it does not show that the father is in love with the child and cares for him greatly, because he has to look after him, has to give him a pair of shoes. It's when a father does something which he doesn't have to do, he buys the child a treat which he doesn't need, then it's a symptom of the chavivus, the real affection that the father feels for the son. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a nes, which intrinsically is unnecessary, it's a sign of tremendous chavivus in Klal Yisrael. For example, Avraham Avinu was Av Hamoyen Goyim. He was, in the words of the Chazal, he was Hikri Shem Hashem B'fi Kol Beria. He brought Hashem's name down into the world. Before Avraham came on the scene, there was idol worship, and Avraham, which actually we forgot to bring in our list of those people who were isolated, was Avraham Avinu, but totally and completely as a child from the age of 3, isolated in all casting, we mentioned it in one of the Shiurim, living with his parents, and they were worshipping idols, and he was as well, but in his mind he was thinking about Hashem all the time. Avraham Avinu brought down Hashem into the world. He became a known name. Hashem gave him a nes which was unnecessary. He didn't need that, but it's the shine of chavivus. Yocheved had married again Amram when there was a tremendous scourge. No women were getting married. No women were having children because they were so scared every child would be thrown into the sea. With great sacrifice, they gave birth to Moshe and carried on having children, even though there was a tremendous risk that the child would be killed. Most likely he would be. That's why they put him in the box, in the water. As Chavivus, she was paid for nursing her child. David HaMelech as well. Adonenu David. And therefore, says Reb Chaim, the nes of the Pach HaShemen was something called He'oras Ponim. It was a Latifas Lechi. It was a stroke on the cheek. Because we know, according to the real halacha, tumahutra betzibul, they could have bought the shemen tomei. They didn't need to search for shemen tomei, but they went further than the call of duty. The chashmonaim, with tremendous mesirah nefesh, looked much further than what was really necessary in order to do a mitzvah with mesirah nefesh and sacrifice, because of their chavivus. That chavivus which they had is a tremendous nace which brought about that the the nace of the Pach HaShemen, because they went beyond what they really had to do. And therefore, the Pach HaShemen, says Reb Chaim, was a Latifas Lechi. When everybody asks, when the Gemara asks, my Chanukah, Chanukah intrinsically is the war, how they overcome the Greeks. The Pach HaShemen was to show them that their koyach in the war was lamaila min ateva, and that's what the Pach showed them. It's almost as if the oil from the menorah lit up their battle and showed them, just like the fighting you might think was koyachi ve'oitzem yonu, you fought against the Greek army. No, it was because of the lulei Hashem shahayolan, because Hashem was with them, and that's what the Pach HaShemen showed them. It showed them where their real koyach came from. The influence came from the chavivus, the tremendous affection that Hashem had for them, and that was the nature of the Pach HaShemen. If we take that point, that was Bayomim Hohem. Bizman Hazeh, in our times, we are sitting in a situation in our times of tremendous Latifas Halechi. We live in Eretz Yisrael. We have opportunities of studying Torah. The yeshivas have never been as full. I sit in the Mir Yeshiva, there's no room. 8,000-9,000 people, there's no room. And all the yeshivas are packed. We have a situation of comfort in Eretz Yisrael. We have support. Across the world, Torah is growing and growing. There are problems, there are difficulties which Klal Yisrael are going through. But we have to recognize the enormous caress that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is part of our Yom Tov of Chanukah, Bazman Hazeh. Bayomim Hohein, they were shown the Pach HaShemen. But in our times, Bazman Hazeh, we are obliged, when it comes to Chanukah, to give thanks for all that we do have. After all, 60-70 years ago, there was a death warrant on our lives. There was no opportunity, no one would ever have dreamt that what would come out of that situation would have been the rise of Klal Yisrael in tremendous splendor, in unbelievable prestige. The yeshivas, the growth of the communities here, it's unheard of here. I once saw a painting which I believe was ordered by Rebbetzin Grunfeld, Judith Grunfeld, the wife of Diane Grunfeld from London. She had once given a shiur and explained that there's no other way to explain the growth of yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, like Hebron, like Mir, like Ponovich, like Lakewood in America, like Baltimore, like all that's going on in the growth of Torah. She said that one must only visualize these yeshivas as the smoke came out from Auschwitz and Buchenwald and all these camps, Majdanek, and it came out, and that smoke goes into Mir Yeshiva, Torah Or, Chevron, Ponovich, Lakewood. That developed that. It's because of their suffering that we have in our times this tremendous Latifas Lechi. We have the stroke on a tree that we do have in our times. That is Bezman Hazeh. And that prompts us, especially living in the comfort of Beit Shemesh and the shuls and all the circumstances and homes and everything that we have here, when we turn around and say, L'hoidosu l'hada l'shimcha ha'godoy, we have a tremendous responsibility of appreciation for the miracles which have taken place, and they're all Latifas Lechi. Because we're not great, really, in our stature that there used to be in Torah. It's all in their schus that we're reaping the rewards of those people who suffered years, hundreds of years earlier. We are living in Eretz Yisrael and enjoying. It's hard, it's difficult, there are financial difficulties people have, but the enormous ability and potential that people have to grow in Torah and mitzvahs is all a he'oras ponim, like the Pach HaShem in those times. We didn't need to have all this, but it's been given to us as a caress to show the chemda and the satisfaction which Hashem has with Klal Yisrael from their suffering and from the Mesiras Nefesh that we have. I want to bring that point out because That is the way we really apply the Nes of the Pach HaShemin in our times. Our responsibility to say Hallel in our times is far, far greater than in previous generations. Because in reality, we are materialistically spoiled. We have so much for what we have to be thankful for. And we are being given this stroke on the cheek to show and encourage us and inspire us to grow much more in Torah and Mitzvahs. And therefore, our Hallel has far more background behind it, perhaps, than in previous generations. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Lamed Gimel, which we said this morning, which is really sums it up. The pasuk says, Rabim machoivim l'rosho, v'hapoteach v'ashem, chesed yisoivavenu. Rabbi Yosef Salant explained as follows, that a rosho looks around him and sees Rabim machoivim, tremendous pain. He seems upset. He sees aggravation. Marbim machoivim l'rosho. He sees aggravation. He sees that he's not making enough money. He sees he's not successful enough. A rosha only sees the machoivim, the pain and the aggravation that he has in life. V'hapoteach b'ashem, but someone who has bitochen, chesed yisoy v'venu, sees the tremendous kindness and chesed which is done. Living on the same street, living in the same community, you can look at the machoivim or you can look at the chesed yisoy v'venu. What I'm suggesting is that we are shown the Pach HaShemen in our times. In those times, it was called a letifas lechi, a stroke on the cheek, meaning that they were treated to this nes, which they didn't really need, but it's to show them the affection. There is no greater call on our Torah and mitzvahs that we should respond with a real hallel when it comes to Chanukah, to show our appreciation. What the times that we have and the chesed yisoivavenu, the kindness that we are surrounded by, that is the nature, I think, of Al HaNisim in our times. You only have to really, Al HaNisim on Chanukah really prompts you to bounce backwards and forwards by Yomim Ha'ayim, and every time you have to go back again, Bazman Azeh, and that's what we've tried to do. The Mesiras Nefesh of the leaders, the enticement of the culture, of the Greek culture, in those times and in our times. The Ravtos Rivom Dantos Ninom in those times, but we see by the words of a Prime Vital in the name of the Arizal, they were Kuf Kof Dalet. It's exactly the same in our times. Ezweinu B'Shem Hashem, it was in those times, that bounced back into our times. In our times it's the same. The six clauses of Chaloshim and to Ma'atim and to Hoyim and Tzadikim and Oiske Sayosecha were all isolated people who acted out of Mesiras Nefesh for the difficulties that they had, like Esther, like David, like Avraham. But Azman Azeh, that's what Kuf Mem Beis is all about. The Sipona says that we are Ein Makirli, Ein Dairesh Lenafshi. There's no one looking after Klal Yisrael. That's a symptom that Likus of the Mashikha. It was like that and it is like this nowadays. And finally, if you look at the end of, it's only an oblique reference to the Pach HaShemen in the end of Al HaNisim. Why is it only like that? Because it was only a He'oras Ponim. It was a Letifas Lechi. It was a stroke on the cheek. That wasn't really necessary. But it was shown to encourage them and give them inspiration. In our times, the ability that we have to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs and live in Eretz Yisrael and all the tremendous luxury that we have in our times is also a He'oras Ponim. Pach HaShemen in our times. Shenizke lekayim aleinu lahaydois ulahalel l'shimcha hagoda. Mitz Hashem. I hope in 2 weeks' time the shiur will start. I would like to start a whole series of shiurim on kavona in tefillah. So that's in 2 weeks' time. We'll go into great detail, I hope, and give you a handout and to learn through in halacha as much as I can help you with how to have kavona in tefillah. That'll be in 2 weeks' time. At the same time. Friedrich and Chanukah.